You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Morning, and I'm not here by accident or like Deacon said, because I've been so good, but I'm here because of the goodness of God. Anybody in here been here because of the goodness of God? Amen, amen. Yeah, old folks used to say I should have been dead sleeping in my grave, but God saw fit to give me another opportunity to come out and worship Him once again. It's just good to be here this morning. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you're glad to be here this morning. Amen, amen. To my fine pastor, I am just overwhelmed by his generosity and his love for his preachers. And I thank God for you, Pastor. I thank God for all that you poured into me throughout the years. And I realize that I could not be who I am today if it had not been for you being who you are. So I thank you for the example. I thank you for the lessons that you've taught me, and I'll forever be grateful for that. To the rest of these preachers and deacons and members and friends, we greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. And this is the last message of 2017, and I'm going to ask for you to bear with me this morning. The Lord has placed something upon my heart. So I'll be preaching from the text in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And we're going to read in your hearing verses 9 through 11. First Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 through 11. And it reads, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Amen. From that text, we would like to pin for a thought this morning. A need for a change. A need for a change. Paul is the author of this particular epistle. And if there was anybody that knew the church at Corinth, Paul knew this church. For it was Paul who fished in a pond, became a fisherman, a fisher of men. Paul knew exactly where he got these saints from. He understood what they came from. He understood what he was dealing with. But after a period of time, Paul moves on his missionary journey. And there comes a report from the house of Chloe that there were some problems and there were some issues that were taking place at the church at Corinth. Yes. Yes. The church of Corinth was not an ordinary church. Yes, sir. It was a church that, according to Paul, had been blessed with many spiritual gifts. God had richly blessed this church. But they had some problems, as does most churches. For we all have problems and situations. And all of us have problems that we're dealing with on a daily basis. Some of your our problems are easily seen. But then there's some problems that are beneath the surface. They don't always manifest themselves. But there's not one person in here that cannot say that we don't have some problems. We don't have some issues that we're dealing with. We don't have some sins that we're still dealing with. But understand that even with saying that, there's definitely a need for a change. For all of us, we'll take some of the same problems from 2017 into 2018. It seems as though we think that the new year is this mystical spiritual utopia that will automatically do away with all of our problems. But understand that there's no filter from 2017 to 2018. Some of the same problems and issues you dealt with this year, you have to deal with next year. But understand that Reverend Willis said it this morning, is that a lot of our problems are based upon the decisions that we make. And so therefore, it prompts us and notifies us that there must be a need for a change. Yeah, if you want your circumstances to change in 2018, then maybe you need to change. There's some wives that have been praying for their husbands to change. There have been some husbands, and I know, that have been praying for my wife to change. Been praying for my children to change. But what you need to understand that maybe if they won't change, maybe it's us that need to change. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 18. He said, but we all, that's all of us, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Yes. Listen here, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So there is a need for us to change. Amen. If you have financial issues right now in 2017, chances are you're going to have the same financial issues in 2018. But there is hope. And we need to understand that we need to change. Change is inevitable. It's going to happen regardless to whether you want it to or not. But it's just a matter of how you're going to change and how it's going to change. Yeah. We want healing without holiness. We want deliverance without discipleship. We want comfort without correction. We want blessing without the purging of God. We don't want to change, but we want the benefit of change. But understand this, that there will be no change without change. In other words, if you keep doing the same thing that you were doing in 2017. You're going to have the same problems in 2018. So instead of treating the new year like it's some type of mystical utopia, why don't you look in the mirror of God's word and see where there's a need for you to change? In other words, change should be constant in our lives. Look in the text. The text tells us, he said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, those who have not been declared righteous by God will not inherit the kingdom of God. And understand that even in this text, Paul is writing to the church. So in other words, inevitably, there is some unrighteous people that are sitting in the church. There's some folk in the church need to be concerned about their salvation. Because if you're still doing the same things that you've been doing all of your life, then maybe you need to take another look in the mirror. Maybe you need to take a look, better look at your profession of faith. In other words, was it just lip service, or did you really mean it? Did you really accept Christ in your heart? Because if you did accept Christ into your life, there are some changes that take place in your life. There is no salvation without change. God never saved us that we might remain the same. So he says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then it's interesting, he says that be not deceived. This is really a self-deception here. And the question we must ask, are we saved or self-deceived? Because salvation comes with change. So be not deceived. And then Paul gives this laundry list of sins. As a matter of fact, there's 10 of them. The first 5 are sins of a personal nature. For he deals with fornicators. You know what fornication is. Come on now, don't play with me today, this morning. You know what fornication is. It's having sexual relations outside of marriage. And I've come to discover that there's just as much fornication going on in churches nowadays as there is outside of the churches. And I don't understand that. Because Christ has saved us by his Spirit. Not only fornicators, but idolaters, those who worship false gods. And that includes money. As a matter of fact, that's one of the biggest ones we serve. We serve money. But Jesus said you can't serve two masters in Matthew the 6th chapter. He said either you love one and hate the other. So what is your issue? What is the God that you're serving? Education? A job? Idolaters won't inherit the kingdom of God. Adulterers. These are ones who are having sexual relationships with other married people. You creeping up on somebody else's good thing. Yes, this is happening in the church. It's not me, this is the Bible. This is what Paul sees in the church at Corinth. This is the report that has come back to him. Effeminate. It means soft or soft to the touch. It means a soft man. This is transgender at its best. That's what he's talking about here. Men who act like, walk like, dress like women. That's the Bible. Don't look at me. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But I come to find out that the homosexual community don't even care about that. Because they will go get their own church, call their own pastor, and he'll be sitting up with his first man. It's sin. And God is going to judge sin.
Tell the truth now. Yes, sir.
The 5th one is abusers of themselves with mankind. And this is a homosexual that is practicing the act of homosexuality. Sodomy. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If you don't change, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that goes for all of them, not just the homosexual.
So if you're a fornicator, that goes for you as well. If you're an adulterer, that goes for you as well. If you're an idolater, that goes for you as well. Whatever reason, we seem to use homosexuality as our free pass. Well, we ain't as bad as the homosexual. But you're still on your way to hell if you don't change. It's necessary. Change is necessary. Change must happen if we're going to inherit the kingdom of God. And then he turns his attention to public sins of a public nature. A thief. This is the word kleptes in the Greek. And it's where we get our word kleptomaniac from in the English. This is someone who is an embezzler, a pilferer. The name sometimes has been transferred even to false prophets or false teachers. Because they rob you of your salvation. Jesus put it like this, that all that come before me were thieves and robbers. This is a public nature. He goes on to say, covetous, one who are eager, who wants to take other folks' belongings. It's not enough that you got what you got. You want what you got and what I got too. You just want it because I got it. You probably really don't even really want it. But you don't want to see nobody else with it. You become covetousness. We're coveting everything. We want to hoard everything. Don't want to give nothing. The pastor said it. God has been good to us. He has blessed us. And we don't want to give nothing for the glory of God. We don't want to give nothing to anybody else because we want to covet everything for ourselves. The Bible said that you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. You're asking for stuff and you're not asking that you might be a blessing to anybody else. You're not asking that you might be a blessing to the church. You're asking that so that you might build bigger houses and drive better cars. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to understand that God blesses us to be a blessing to someone else. And that's why Scripture says it's better to give than to receive. Because if you're giving, it means that God has already blessed you. And then he says, drunkards. And I looked this word up in the Greek. And you know what this word means? It means drunkard. It means to be drunk. Talking to some folk that have simply abused God's word. And they tell you, oh, it's not a sin to drink. It's just a sin to get drunk. Well, it just seems like I'm always seeing these same folk drunk. So you've abused what God's word has said. Because most, the truth be told, most of us don't have that much self-control. We don't have that type of self-control. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit in excess. We're to be filled with God's Spirit. And understand is that when you're filled with God's Spirit and God is using you, that's better than any high you can get. You talk about a man that has been drunk. I know y'all don't believe that. But I've had my share of whiskey, cognac, gin, Crown Royal. Come on now, I'm getting to yours. Come on now. Don't y'all sit there like you don't know what I'm talking about. I'd have been so drunk, I don't even remember the night before. But God delivered me. He delivered me. And then he talks about revilers. These are folks that are always criticizing, always slandering people's names. These are the same folk that will sit up in church and gossip and backbite and talk about folk and ultimately run people away from the church. None of these folk will inherit the kingdom of God. Extortioners. These are robbers. These are people who extort. They're in it for the money. What's in it for me? What Paul is implying is that their behavior did not meet the Christian standard of conduct. And so it forces us to look at ourselves, look in the mirror. Does our character meet the conduct, the standard, in which has been laid out through Scripture? Well, understand this. These are people that practice such sins. I'm not talking about the person that will sin, that will commit one of these sins. Because all of us will find ourselves somewhere in these 10. Amen. But when you practice these sins, yes, sir, when you make it a part of your daily lifestyle, you are not meeting the mandate in which God has set forth in his word. But there is good news. There's good news. For Paul says, for such as you, I mean, some of you were such as this, or and such were some of you. Get the wording right. He used the past tense. In other words, you used to be this. This is what you used to be, but you've been washed. Hello, somebody. You've been washed. Been washed in the blood of Jesus. It means to wash off or to wash away. Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye whom sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:6-7, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Listen here, but verse 7, he says, but if ye walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all our sins. So you've been washed in the blood of Jesus. But if we look at this statement, washed in the blood of Jesus, you see the gospel message inside of it. Because Jesus could not wash you in his blood if he had not shed his blood. He had to first shed his blood that he might wash you in his blood. So that was a great sacrifice for you to be washed in the blood of Jesus. It's not a sacrifice that you yourself made, but it's one that Jesus and the only Jesus could have made for you. Because as Pastor said last week, it is the blood of Jesus, which is that H blood. It's holy blood. It's not an ordinary blood. This blood is holy. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that we can be washed. He said, you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. And because you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, your change is inevitable. As a matter of fact, your change is expected. Since then, he said that you are sanctified. For a long time, sanctified scared me. did not understand sanctification. I thought that sanctification was running around jumping and speaking in tongues and so on and so forth, and I didn't understand it. But sanctification comes in two parts. Sanctification is instantaneously at the moment of salvation. But sanctification also is progressive and happens on a daily basis. And sometimes when we're talking about sanctification, sometimes the changes are instantaneously. They happen immediately. Because now that you're in Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is living inside of you, you will notice that there are some changes in your life. Some folk stop cussing. Y'all didn't get that. Some folk stop cussing. Some folk will stop and put away habits, smoking and drinking. Some folk won't laugh at the dirty jokes at work anymore. There's a visible change in your life. It's one that folk will be able to see the change in your life. Yeah, you go to work and there'll be some folk that say, there's something different about you. What's going on with you? You don't cuss and fuss like you used to. I see you praying and got your Bible over on your lunch break. What's going on with you? And your reply should be, there's a change in my life. And it's not by me. It's not me that did the change. But it's God. I allowed him to come in and change my life. They're instantaneous. People can see them. People notice them. Because there are folk that are watching you. There are people that when they find out you're a Christian, they will watch you. There are some folk that will cheer you on and celebrate your salvation. But then there are some folk that's sitting around waiting for you to fall as well. There are some folk that's sitting around waiting for you to slip up and cuss. There's some folk that's waiting for you to slip up and slap somebody. I told a group not too long ago, I said, listen, you need to understand that I still know how to cuss. I still know how to fight. But I choose not to. And that's only through the power of God's Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that there's some instant changes that happen. And here's where we really need to stop and take a reflection in our lives. You need to ask yourself, what has changed in my life? And you're the only one that can answer that. Am I still mean-spirited? Am I still ornery? Got quiet. I'm hoping that you're reflecting on this. What is it that's different about me? Do I pick up my Bible? Do I at least pick up my Bible at least once or twice a week? Am I trying to live holy? Am I trusting God? That's a big question. Here's one for you too. Am I loving folk that are unlovable? Take a look at it. I look at it every day. I wake up with a self-examination on my mind to examine myself. But then there are some changes that are progressive. In other words, you're in a process of progressive sanctification. In other words, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You do have the Holy Spirit living within you, right? And he ought to be convicting you of your sinfulness. I know he convicts me of mine. He will knock on my door. and let me know that I'm not right. And will not allow me to rest until I get right. You know that the movie A Life with Eddie Murphy? You remember the character Can't Get Right? That's like some of us. We just can't get right. Keep making the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. But God's Holy Spirit, He comes to get us right. He comes to walk us through this life. He empowers us to live this life in which we've been called to. It's through the power of God's Holy Spirit. And here's your part. You must submit yourself to His Holy Spirit. I just don't believe that you can have the Holy Spirit living inside of you and you still won't submit to Him. Like Reverend David said in Sunday school, all you got to do is keep sitting up underneath the Word. Getting in the Word. The Holy Spirit and the Word work together. They work together. The Word is there. The Holy Spirit confirms it and empowers you to be able to walk in obedience to God's Word. Come on, I hope you're getting this. It works together. So you can't go too far out saying I'm following the Spirit and you're getting away from the Word of God. They work together. It's called progressive sanctification. And then he said that you are justified. Mm-hmm. Yes. Justified is done by the work of Christ on Calvary's cross. Yeah. Listen here. Justification is a legal term. Yeah. It means that you have been declared by God Himself as being righteous. Even though you don't look like you're righteous. It is a declaration by God. It is God and only God that can make this declaration concerning you. And the only reason why He makes it is because you put your faith in His Son. No. Don't get it twisted. If you have not put your faith and your trust in His Son, then you have not been justified. Because there is no justification apart from Jesus Christ and what He does. It's a purely legal term. And it describes what God declares about you, the believer. And not what He does to change the believer. But inevitably, you will be changed by the power of God. He just declared you righteous. And through the sanctification process, you walk it out. Didn't you say that? What Reverend Willis said? Talking about walking it out. Yeah, you gotta walk this thing out. You gotta walk by faith. You gotta walk it out. This here, Romans 5 and 19, it says, for as by one man disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. In Christ Jesus. Amen. The one who was disobedient was Adam. We were all born into sin, but Christ's death, His obedience to His Father, we were declared righteous. It's by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of Him ye are in Christ Jesus, whom of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's by Jesus Christ. Yes, but how can we say that we're righteous? How can we say that we're walking in the light when we're still doing some of the same things that the light comes to do away with? Amen. One of the biggest problems is that we keep associating ourselves with folk we don't need to. There's some folk in 2018 you need to cut loose. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, which such have not, do not even eat with them. Can't even eat with them. So there's some road dogs you've been running with 2017. That you need to cut loose. Because what it's doing is that it keeps dragging you back down. And I don't need nobody dragging me down. Someone say, I can do bad all by myself. I don't need nobody's help to drag me down. You are justified in the name of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. Look at here what he says in Acts 4 and 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There is deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. There's healing in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe me, just look at Acts 3 and 1. It said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Yes, sir. It was at the name of Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for healing, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. If you're looking for deliverance, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. There's power in his name. Yes, sir. There's power in his blood. Yet he is the only one that can save us from our bad condition, our sinful condition. It's only in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody out there that needs Jesus this morning? I need him every day, every hour, because he is the Rose of Sharon. He is the great I Am. It's in Jesus Christ. For it was Jesus Christ that said, Father, I'll go down. Give me a body. Let me tabernacle for 33 years, and I'll go down and die for the sins of the world. Yes, it's in Jesus' name that we're saved. It's because what Jesus did that we didn't have the right to the tree of life. It's Jesus, I tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, he went to Calvary's cross nearly 2,000 years ago, suffered, bled, and died for your behalf, suffered for my behalf. Yes, he died on Calvary's cross that I might be saved. He hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, and he died and gave up the ghost. Yeah, but it didn't stop there. It said they buried him in a tomb. But on the third day, he rolled with all power in his hands. Anybody out there that needs Jesus, he rose for your justification. Yeah, Jesus, he is the great I Am. And we need to change. It's Jesus that made it possible for us to change. Jesus that gave us the power to be able to change. It's in the blood of Jesus. But it didn't stop there either, because the record declared that he's coming back again for a church without spot or wrinkle. Let me tell you, will you be ready? Will you be going back with him? Or will you still be in the same condition without change? God comes to change your very life. If you would just surrender, if you would just give over to him, he comes to change your life. There's a need for a change. There's a need for a change in this United States. There's a need for change in the churches in our country. Because we've gotten so far away from what God would have us to be, particularly as a nation. We need to change. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.